Okay, welcome. Are we learning Hilchot Shabbat? If you need a reminder, my name is Yonatan Shai Friedman. And this is very exciting. Another reminder, I sit right behind the Vima in the base bedrash. If you have questions while you're learning, you can come up and ask me. Today, I'm just introducing Hilchot Shabbat with some of the sources, Mamre Chazal, that talk about the importance of Shabbat, or learning about Shabbat. And then I'm going to give you another sheet where I'm going to go through some of the leading personalities we're going to be learning about this year, and some of the books that they wrote on Hilchot Shabbat. And that'll be the first one. And next week we'll already start with our first Hilchot Shabbat class. But this one is more of an introductory class. Those just coming in, there's a sheet right here. In general, I follow what I learned from Rav Yossi Tzvi Rimon, the Rav of Alon Shvat Aron, where whatever topic we're going to learn, we're going to cover, I'm going to try to give you Mina Makorot, Ala Alach Mamasa. In other words, we're going to start if there's Tzukim, or Mishnahs, or Gemaras, through the Rishonim, through the postgim, till the modern postgim, exactly how we reached whatever conclusions we reached, that halacha doesn't come out of thin air, it follows a very thoughtful, logical process. There's sheets over here, those just coming in. Okay. I was told that Rav Mordechai Friedman is going to be doing some of Hilchot Shabbat with you, and I'm going to be doing other parts of Hilchot Shabbat. So my focus to start with, starting next week, is going to be the Mitzvot Aseh. Kiddush, Abdallah, Avod, Oneg, etc. We'll start with those first. Later we'll probably get to Muktzah, and Borer, and Tochein, and other fun stuff. But this is what we're going to start with. Already a question, yes? Nope, no question. Okay, you were just excited. Okay, here we go. Source number one. The Mitzvah of Shabbos. Pasuk in the Torah. So a week or two ago, we just read this. Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. Remember Shabbos, make it holy. Shesh Yamim Tavod V'Sita Kol Melachtecha. 6 days you shall work, do all your work. Yom HaShvi'i, Shabbat, over here. Shabbat L'Hashem Elokecha Lo Taseh Kol Melacha. Atah Uvincha Uvitecha Avdecha V'Amancha V'Amtecha V'Gercha Shebesherecha. The seventh day, Shabbos for Hashem. Don't do Melacha, not you or anybody in your household. For 6 days Hashem made the sky and the earth, the water and everything in it. So what is the reason for keeping Shabbos? What is it a reminder of? 7 days of creation. Over here. The Ramban ala Torah on this pasuk and many other locations points out that we got many, many, many mitzvot that are to remind us of one of two things. Either Bereishit, creation of the world, or Yetziat Mitzrayim. Hashem taking us out of Mitzrayim in the Pesach story. And each of those may have roots, meaning the Pesach story itself may have roots in Hashem being the one who created the world too. So really it's all reminding you all the way back to creation. But one of the ideas of Shabbos is this fundamental idea of Hashem created the world. Now I put this source first because some of the coming sources that we're going to see allude to this. Over here is a source. Now let's go to source 2. Gemara Shabbos Daf Yud Amud Bet says Tanya Nami Hachi quotes a Braita, Ledat ki ani Hashem Mekadeshchem. Know that I am Hashem who makes you holy. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Matana Tova Yeshli Bebeit Ginzi. I have in my storehouse a good present. V'Shabbat Shema. and its name is Shabbos. V'ani mevakesh l'nal Yisrael. I want to give it to Am Yisrael. Lech v'hodiyin. Go tell them. Now, interestingly, if you look at this line in context in Masechet Shabbat, it is actually a source for halacha that when you give somebody a present, you must tell them. You can't secretly give them presents. It's not talking about stuff, it's talking about giving them a present. So,
what do you mean?
As in, you give something to somebody's kid, you have to let his father know.
But you can still give someone a surprise.
Sure. Let them know about it. There's a source sheet up here. But what I want to get out of this source is that what is Shabbos that we have to remember?
It's a gift.
It's a gift. Okay? Let us not forget that. Now the reason why I find that very important is that sometimes people feel yehush. What is yehush?
Despair.
Despair. Okay, wow. Okay, despair. Because Shabbat, there are so many halachot. It's even described as hararim hatloi v'sarot, mountains hanging by hairs. There'll be one word in the Torah, and entire prakim of halachot come based on a certain word or sentence in the Torah. And I remember when I was Shalalat, one of my friends said, "This is ridiculous. The only thing we can do on Shabbos is stay in bed, because you can't do anything." And what we're going to focus on this year is that's not the case. Shabbat is wonderful and beautiful, and its halachot are manageable. They're manageable if you understand the system they work in. And the logic, the Masorah, how it works and how it applies to everything. And once you understand it, then you understand what you can do. And really, it's not so burdensome and so limiting. So, let's remember, Shabbos is a gift. Source 3. Masechet Shabbat, Kuf Yud Chet Amud Bet. Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Meshamer Shabbat Kilchato. Afilu oveir avodah zara kedor enosh, moflin lo. Whoever keeps Shabbos properly, even if you're an oveir avodah zara, you're an idol worshiper, not just an idol worshiper. You worship so many idols and gods and entities, like before Avram Avinu brought monotheism to the world. That many. Even so, if you keep Shabbos properly, moflin lo. Mechila, Hashem forgives you. Shneamar, Ashrei Enosh, Yaseh Zot, Chulei, Mechalolo. Al Tikri Mechalolo, Ela, Macholo. So the Gemara makes a pun on this pasuk and learns that if you keep Shabbos properly, your sins get forgiven. Now I don't believe this works on purpose, but b'diavad. Okay? Don't decide to sin and be like, but I'll keep Shabbos. Not allowed. So now we see another value in keeping Shabbos is it helps us. Source 4. Chol meshamer et haShabbat ki'ilu kiyem kol haTorah kula. The Midrash says, if you keep Shabbos, it's like you kept the whole Torah. I had a teacher in high school, and he told a story that he attended a shir of Rav Gorin. Does that name mean anything to anyone here? He was the one who blew the shofar of the kotel. That's a good one. That's true. Former chief rabbi. Okay? And he attended a class of his. And this came up. That he said, and it wasn't about Shabbos. It was about living in Eretz Yisrael. He said, living in Eretz Yisrael is like Kiyam Kol HaTorah Kula. So he says, do we say that about other mitzvot too? And he looked at him and said, yeah. 7. And then listed which ones they were. So you can have fun and try and figure out which 7 there were. What? Huh? Finish the Torah 7 times. Yeah. Okay. So, if you keep Shabbos, it's like you kept the whole Torah. Okay, this is chizuk. Okay, keep Shabbos. It's like you kept all Torah. A lot of mitzvot that we don't know about, and it's as though we kept them. Number five, kilu. But that's encouragement. That's rabbinic support and encouragement for this. Number five. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Midrash Rabbah, Parshat B'Shalach. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Im tizku lishmor Shabbat, ma'ale ani aleichem ki ilu shamartem kol mitzvot Shabbat Torah. If you keep Shabbos, I will consider it as though you kept all the mitzvot. But, and this is the corollary that we didn't have yet, im chilalta muta, if you profane or desecrate Shabbos, I will consider it as though you violated every single mitzvah. Shatnez, making a battering ram out of a fruit tree, whatever mitzvah you can think of, it's as though you violated it if you violated Shabbos. But at the same time, if you've kept Shabbos, it's as though you've done Pidyon HaBen and Pidyon Peter Chamor and all sorts of wonderful mitzvah. Okay, again, kilu. Don't worry. Yes.
Would it include like the mitzvah that applicable to you, or just the reason?
Interesting. Kiyem kol haTorah kulo. So I can hear it going both ways. It could be literally every mitzvah. I mean, again, it's a midrash, not literal. But even within the midrash, it could be literal, or it could be every mitzvah that would be on you. In other words, that you, if you're not a kohen, then the mitzvah to apply to a kohen, it doesn't apply to you. Okay.
But
at the end of the day, it's kilu, but at the end of the day, this is Chazal having a masorah giving you chizuk for keeping Shabbos. Okay? Telling you, keep Shabbos, because it's really, really important. As though it's equal to the whole Torah.
Truth beyond it.
Yes.
Because otherwise they just wouldn't have said it.
Correct. They don't say it about every mitzvah. Let's say it that way.
So what's the point of drawing the comparison if it's not true?
Ah. Okay. We're going to get to that. I'll answer your question shortly. Number six. This is the Rambam. The Rambam says about Shabbos and Avodah Zarah. So now you know two of the mitzvot. Shabbat v'Avodah Zarah kol achat mishtehen shkula kineged shar kol mitzvot haTorah. Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are equivalent to keeping the whole Torah. Why is it? Why would Chazal make this comparison? You just asked. What's your name?
Aaron
just asked. Says the Rambam, Hashabbat hi ha'ot. It is the sign between Hashem and us forever. If you violate any mitzvah, that makes you a Rasha. You violated a mitzvah. But specifically violating Shabbos in public, that is like saying, I don't accept this covenant we have with God. God isn't my God. Which is the equivalent of heresy, which is the Avodah Zarah. That makes you like a heathen or a Gentile. Sure. Shabbos and Avodah Zarah are equivalent to the whole Torah. Why is that? Why is it about Shabbos? He explains about Shabbos. Because this is the Rambam in Hilchot Shabbos. He may explain about Avodah Zarah and Machon Avodah Zarah. And Shabbos, he says, Shabbos is a sign, it's a brit, it's a covenant between Hashem and Am Yisrael. He is our God. He made the world. And we keep the Shabbos because He had us do that. And the minute that you don't keep Shabbos, or at least publicly desecrate Shabbat, you are saying He is not my God. I don't have that covenant. I don't have that brit with Hashem. Saying He is not my God is thereby not worshiping God properly, which is Avodah Zarah.
That does not answer the question.
That answers the question. Chazal are going to tell you that keeping Shabbos is the equivalent of the whole Torah Kula, because what's the whole point of Kol Torah Kula is saying that this is our God, and our God gave us this Torah to keep, and therefore I'm going to keep Shabbos. Because Shabbos represents this bond that we have with God. So do all the mitzvot. But Shabbos represents the brit. All the mitzvot are the details of the brit. Meaning, Hashem made this deal with you, I'll be your God, you keep all these mitzvot. Which mitzvah exemplifies this oath, this brit? That's Shabbos. Number seven, Chai Adam. Klal Aleph Sif Aleph, but I think it's not actually Chelek Aleph. Meaning the start of his Halachos HaMoadim, Shabbos HaMoadim. He says, Shabbat Kodesh Hu HaOt HaGadol V'Abrit Shenatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Shabbos is the great sign, covenant Hashem gave Am Yisrael. Why? L'man Yidu Ki Shesh Yomim Asa Hashem Kol Ma Shebara B'Shamayim V'Aretz V'Shabbat B'Yom HaShvi'i. So you know that He made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. V'hu Yisod HaEmunah. It is a fundamental of our faith. Leidasha Olam U'Mechudash. Know that the world was created. The world did not just exist. The world did not just happen. The world did not just evolve. The world did not just appear out of some kind of bang. The world was created. Kevan Shebara HaKol. Since He made everything, Hu Adon HaLakol. He is the master of all. V'anachnu Avadav, and we are His servants. U'mechuyavim lasot etzono, we must do His will, perform His will. Ula avdo v'chol gufeinu mishmatenu mamoninu. We must worship Him with our body, our soul, and our money. Ki akol shalom, because really, it all belongs to Him. V'zhira Torah al shmirat shabbat yud be pa'amim. Don't think that pasuk I quoted to you is the only time the Torah talks about Shabbos. There are 12 times at least that the Torah warns you about keeping Shabbos. V'amru chazal, kol meshaber shabbat, kilu mekayim kol ha'Torah kula. Whoever keeps Shabbos, it's as though he kept it all. Kol mechalal ha'Shabbat kilu kafar b'chol ha'Torah kula. So this is the Chayei Adam quoting that source that we saw earlier. Okay? Keeping Shabbos is showing the world that we know that Hashem made the world. And because He made the world, He gets to tell us, don't work on the seventh day, rest on the seventh day. And even though that's going to cost you money, well, the money is His. And even though that's going to affect what you can do with your body, well, our bodies are His. Okay? That is the Chai Adam's Hakdama to Hilchot Shabbat. Says the Mishnah Brura in his Hakdama to Hilchot Shabbat, and by the way, I don't know if all of them, but most of these that I quoted are in his Hakdama. His Hakdama is really long. So I just took out the really good parts. So we can to make this nice source sheet. So number 8, the Hakdama's Mishnah Brura quotes the Urim V'Tumim Sefer called the Yarod HaDvash. For Yidbanu Agon Balim V'Turim V'Sifro Yarod HaDvash. Ki I afshar klal b'mitziot sheyinatzel me'isr Shabbat im lo yilmad kol hadinim abriyam heitev heitev. But it is impossible to keep Shabbat properly if you don't learn the halachot well. Impossible. And therefore the Mishnah Brura wrote what he wrote, and many others, quoting this Mishnah Brura, wrote what they wrote. Shmira Shabbos Gilchata, we're going to talk about in a minute. He cites this Mishnah Brura and says, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make sure that the halachot are clear, so anybody can learn them, al biryam, heitev heitev, learn them well. Because it is impossible to keep Shabbos without knowing the halachot. And finally, Yalkut Shimoni, which is a collection of Midrashim, quotes Yishayahu, on Yishayahu, sorry, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Mali Shamru Yisrael Shtei Shabbatot Kilchatan Miara Yunigalim. If only Am Yisrael kept 2 Shabbases, the Geula would come, and that is an inspiring thought. So that was the Hakdama Hilchot Shabbat, which is why we're going to be spending so much of this year learning Hilchot Shabbat. This class, other classes, very important. But even beyond these classes, there are books you can learn that can help you learn Hilchot Shabbat, and therein we're going to get to the second part of our class, and there's another sheet if you could pass out, please. The second part of our class, I wanted to discuss some of the main people whose writings we're going to be learning this year, focusing on. There are going to be many others, and hopefully we'll learn about them too as we go along. And on the back of the sheet, there are some books that I want to make sure you know about. So I'm going to wait for the sheet to go out for a minute. You don't need to get these books. I'll tell you about the books, and I'll recommend every Jewish home have some of them. But need to get the books. Right now in Yeshiva is a different story. First of all, there's the base midrash, library, friends. But worthwhile reads. Okay. We're going to start with the side of the sheet with lots of words. Are you with me? Okay. The first, it's in no particular order. The first personality on the sheet is Rabbi Yehoshua Neuwirth. Yehoshua Neuwirth passed away somewhat recently, 2013, and he wrote a sefer called Shmirat Shabbat Hilchata. Shmirat Shabbat Hilchata exists in Hebrew as a two-volume set, in English as either a three- or four-volume set. Now, if you're capable in reading Hebrew, I recommend getting the Hebrew one for a few reasons. Number one, he wrote it. He may have reviewed the translation, but it's a translator. So in terms of accuracy, he reviewed it. Number two, his psak is based on a lot of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach we'll get to in a minute, but he was a very reputable posek, who we'll talk about. And he actually reviewed the Shmirat Shabbat Hilchata. And in fact, it's had multiple printings, and in the second or third printing, he put some notes at the back of it, had him, and it's basically his haskama. He agreed. So everything in that book has the approval of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Everything in that sefer. So why specifically the Hebrew? Because not everything that's in the Hebrew is in English. Most notably, what is not in the English? There are no footnotes. Most of the sefer is the footnotes. Each page is probably, I'll venture to say, a third to a half Hebrew, and a half to two-thirds footnotes. And in the footnotes, in the top he gives a halacha, straightforward halacha, and in the footnotes, he'll give you special psakim. I heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach this great kulam. I heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that even though what I said is the halacha, he saw these great gedolim paskin this way, act this way. Now it's not only kulas, but there's a ton of important information in the footnotes. And none of that is in the English version. So if you can read the Hebrew version, I recommend that. But if not, it's very, very important that every single Jewish home have a copy of the Shmirat Shabbat Hilchata. Absolutely essential. In the back of it, there's an index, which is also very useful to find whatever it is you want to look up. Okay, number two, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, just mentioned. So he lived also, he died in 1995, he died in 1995, and he was considered the Posek Hador. He lived in Yerushalayim, had a yeshiva called Kol Torah, and our Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, was very close with him as well. And there are a lot of stories of their interactions, and he took a lot of shailas to him and dealt with him. Rav Shlomo Zalman was an expert in technology. Even though he had this, didn't have any formal secular education, and he was a Talmud Chacham who just learned all day, but he had a very intellectual curiosity about technology. And he wrote one of the first svarim on electricity, which is the basis for any later psak on electricity has to refer to it. Doesn't have to agree to it, especially if there's newer technologies, but it can't ignore it. That's how fundamental it is. And he was, like I said, the Posek Hador. His psakim were accepted throughout Am Yisrael, in America, in Israel, the whole seaboard. And he has a shuk. We'll quote some of those. We'll also be quoting a lot of footnotes in the Shmirat Shabbat Hilchata or other svarim that cite him. So that's number two. Another very important personality we had to know. Number three, Moshe Feinstein was the Gadol in America. He lived in New York. And he wrote tons of letters to people. people would write him a question, and he wouldn't just write back yes or no. He would write back pages and pages. And they published these in, I think now, 8 volumes called Igrot Moshe. And they're the letters, and once in a while they're censored, like dear blank, and then the full letters there saying, I got your letter, I don't know how you could possibly say that was mutter, here's the long list of reasons why it's not, etc. And there's many, many, many sections in there on Hilchot Shabbat, and his name is going to come up consistently in our class as well. Number 4, the Chavetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan, but he's not going to come up because of the Sefer Chavetz Chaim and Hilchot Lashon Hara. Hopefully that won't come up in our class. He is going to come up because of the Sefer he wrote, known as the Mishnah Brura, or Mishnah Brura. And I wrote Shulchan Orach, I see now, I meant Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote it on the section of Shulchan Aruch known as Orach Chaim. Shulchan Aruch is one of the ones on the list we can get to in a second, but he wrote it on 4 sections of life. Orach Chaim is your daily life. He also wrote it on married life. He wrote it on business law, meaning on transactions. That's called Chosha Mishpat. He wrote Eben Ezra on marriage. Yoredeya is on Kashrus, Nida, etc. So on the Orach Chaim, on the daily life section, the most fundamental commentary on that section is the Mishnah Berurah. And he goes line by line, sometimes word by word, and comments on it, and then has a super commentary on his own commentary, and some additional source notes. And it's very, very, there's no way to learn Hilchot Shabbat in the Shulchan Aruch without the elucidations of the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Yosef Cairo, the next one, he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. Those are the 4 sections that we just spoke about a second ago. And I'm assuming a lot of this is clear to you. I just want to make sure that we're all starting on the same page, that everybody knows this information come next week, because I'm not going to constantly go over it. So I want to make sure that we know who these people are, because they're going to constantly get quoted. So Rav Cairo, so he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He also wrote a commentary on the Rambam, known as the Kesef Mishnah. He wrote a commentary on the Tur, whose numbering system, whose order of all mitzvot he followed when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch. He wrote more. And he based all of Pesach on the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam. Now, that means that his Pesach is based, there's 2 issues in his Pesach right now. His Pesach is accepted by all of Klai Yisrael, but there were 2 issues. One was that those are Sfardim. Okay? So Sfardim don't have an issue with that. But Ashkenazim, who have a different Pesach, might take issue with that. Number 2, the Maharshal famously had issue with it. He said, why would you just paskin based on 2 out of 3 of the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam? You should paskin based on learning the Sugya, and whichever one's right, that's how you paskin. And he famously wrote a sefer to disagree with lots of points that the Shulchan Aruch wrote. And the Ramah tried to solve the first issue, which was that it's only Sfardim. So he wrote an inter-commentary with Ashkenazi Pesach. So most lines of the Shulchan Aruch, there'll be a line of Shulchan Aruch, and then it'll say Haggah. And that's the Ramah writing and saying, either clarifying a point in the Shulchan Aruch, or saying, medino nelo, and our custom in Ashkenazim, not Sfardim, we do differently. And next, we're on the second column, second name, Rabbi Chiel Michal Levi Epstein. He wrote a sefer called the Aruch HaShulchan. He also follows the ordering of the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah. But he writes with background. Instead of just giving the halacha, you can't cook on Shabbos, he'll say, the pasuk says this, the Gemara says this, sort of what we're going to try and do in this class. He likes to give the background. Mm-hmm. And I wrote here that very often he'll say, look, the Gemara says this, the halacha says this, everybody says this, but I look around, and all the frum people I know, Don't do it that way. And therefore, he sometimes tries to reread certain sources, or find the Das Yachid that they're relying on, or give a limud zchut. Even if I don't agree, there's somewhat basis for what they're doing. That's his reputation. Deserved or not, he has that reputation. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't. I think they each do it sometimes. But people always, the saying goes, if the Aruch HaShulchan says it's not allowed, then it's really not allowed, because he's known as the more lenient one. So I don't know if the reputation is deserved, but that's definitely his reputation. Next, the Rambam. Rambam lived in Spain, later Egypt. He was famously a doctor in the royal court, and he has a lot of psakim, but he also has a lot of very important svarim, including the Mishnah Torah, which actually covers the whole corpus of Torah. Unlike the Shulchan Aruch, which is the practical Torah for us today, meaning it has on Shabbos and Kashrus and Nidah and business law and everything that we're going to come across and more. But the Rambam includes Korbanos and Tumantara, and it's basically all the halachos, all the mitzvahs, all the Gemara, sorted and organized. So it has everything. And therefore we're going to consistently be using this section on Hilchot Shabbos in this class. Next, Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi lived a 25-minute life from 1040 to 1105. Yeah, that's a good way to remember it. And he, though somebody once got annoyed at me that we knew the way Rashi, the years Rashi lived based on the secular calendar, which is based on somebody who we should know when he lived based on when Rashi lived. Not the other way. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. So Rashi, inside of just about every page of Gemara, Rashi's commentary. Just about under every page of Chumash, most of Tanakh, Rashi's commentary. Okay? You're all familiar with Rashi. But who were Tosfot? And what were they trying to do? So Tosfot started out with being Rashi's grandchildren. Three main ones, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri, and the Rivam, were Rashi's grandchildren. And they commented on the Gemara and on Rashi, and often disagreed with Rashi, their grandfather. But, in general, we view Rashi and Tosfot as having two different roles. Tosfot gets their name from adding on, Mosif, Musaf, more. So that's in their name, Tosfot, they're trying to add on. But Rashi tends to try to tell you what the words mean here. What's the best way to read this line? How does it make the most sense right here, right now? Tosfot has a different perspective. There are many times the same words, the same Gemara, the same piece, appears in multiple places throughout the Gemara, throughout Shas. And Tosfot is concerned that the way you read it here doesn't make sense somewhere else where the same words appear. And Rashi will make it make sense here, and make it make sense a different way there. And Tosfot is looking to have the exact same explanation in both cases, which has advantages and disadvantages. The advantages are that now there's no disagreement. How come you explain this word one way here and one way there? But its disadvantage is that Rashi's way each time works best in each place. Tosfot's way may not be true to the text right here, based on his concern for the stira over there. Okay. Those are the main personalities we're going to deal with. We'll come across more. Flip over to the other side. We'll start with the right side of the page. Anybody know what this is a page of? What book is this? Sefer? Mishnah Torah. No. Not the Kitzur. Shulchan Aruch? Sort of?
Mishnah Berurah.
Okay.
It is Mishnah Berurah.
Mishnah Berurah. Shulchan Aruch is close. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch's text does appear at the top. And that is why I wanted to make sure that everybody can follow along with me on this, because most of my source sheets are going to be coming from Bar Ilan, and you're not going to see this type of page. You're just going to get a line of words like we had today. Just sentences, excerpts. So I want to make sure that if you were to look up the Mishnah Berurah, and we recommend a Seder at some point in learning halacha from the Mishnah Berurah. So the way it works is that on top, it starts with the halacha from the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, writes a halacha. If you look on the bottom line there, like we're five lines down, it says Hagah. V'dafka v'yachrit mutter l'mar aser nedibro, that is the Ramah. So it changes font.
Which is the Ramah?
The Ramah was Moshe Israelis.
No, where?
Where? Oh, this is the Ramah, starting Hagah. Hey, everybody see it? It's the bottom line of the top section. Hagah means note. The Mechaber said something. What did the Mechaber say in this case? Though this is in Hilchos Shabbos, but just to give you an example. Tov l'mar parshat akidah v'rshat aman aser v'dibro v'rshat olo minfo shalom v'chat v'asham. Every morning, it's good to say the following extra that you all appear in your sitter, by the way. All these things you should recite, wonderful things to recite. And the Ramah says, "V'davka v'yachin mutzal l'mar aser v'dibro v'chol yom. Aval aser v'dur v'tzibor." There was a concern the Ramah had. If the tzibor were to get together, if the whole minyan were to say the aser v'dibro together every day, what might it lead a person to think about the aser v'dibro versus all the other mitzvot? That they were either more important or the only ones. And therefore he said, you know what? Remembering Mamad Har Sinai, you're reciting the aser v'dibro, very nice. Therefore, if you want to recite them every day, and you should recite, maybe you should or could recite them every day, that's fine. But do it alone. The tzibur should not be doing that. So this is not our topic. We're in Hilchos Shabbos. But I brought a sample page in the Mishnah Berurah that you see the Ramah is commenting on something the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo, wrote. Now we are moving down. There are two commentaries. First on the Shulchan Aruch, the Ber Heitev, and well preceded the Mishnah Berurah. But then comes the section why it's called the Mishnah Berurah. First comes the Mishnah Berurah. He's the big one on the page. The majority of pages he will be the most. Once in a while the Ber Halacha will be the most. We'll get to why in a minute. Mishnah Berurah, if you look, there are two types of numbers, or three types of numbers throughout the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? We'll start with, you see, the last narrow line in the Mishnah Berurah, there's a big gimel. Okay? Everybody sees that? And yours? The big gimel refers to the Shulchan Aruch's Seif Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch has Simanim, which are the big sections, and Seifim are each individual halacha. So this is the Mishnah Berurah saying we're on Seif Gimel. But then there's a parenthesis. Throughout the Shulchan Aruch, for example, Gimel has Tet, Yud, and Yud Aleph. If you look inside the Shulchan Aruch, it says Tet, Roy L'chol Yorei Shemayim, Yud, Shu Meitzer V'doei Egal, Yud Aleph, Korban Beit HaMikdash. What is that? That is the three comments the Mishnah Berurah has on that line of Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch, Seif Gimel, was one sentence long, and the Mishnah Berurah had three comments on it. Gimel Tet, Yud, and Yud Aleph. And that's what takes up all that area there. Okay. The Ber Halacha, sometimes the Mishnah Berurah wants to expand on an idea. It was also written by the same person. Chafetz Chaim, Rav Kagan, Rav Yisomer Cohen Kagan, wrote the Ber Halacha as well. So on this page it's smaller, but sometimes it's longer, and he expands. So it's not on every line, not on every word. Mishnah Berurah is much more comprehensive. But every so often, I'll have to give you a whole rationale, a whole explanation, background info, other reviews, analysis. That's all in the Ber Halacha. On the bottom, he also wrote, same person, wrote the Shaar HaTzion. Shaar HaTzion, Tzion is to tell you where a source is from. Once in a while, a little bit more saying what we're posking like, etc., but it's usually sources. Okay. So that is the map of a page of Mishnah Berurah, so you can learn that on your own. Now we're going to flip to this side. Mine is color, I'm sorry that yours isn't, but you can Google each of these and find the color picture, or go to the library and see the book for yourself. But I wanted to make sure you knew of some important books, so you can learn Hilchot Shabbat on your own, so you keep Hilchot Shabbat on your own, so you can have a wonderful Jewish home, with lots of Svarim. Remember, there's always enough money for Svarim. Okay. Very important. We'll start with the blue one in the middle. Shvira Shema Kilchata. That's what the English three-volume set looks like. Okay?
On the outside.
No, but any of these books you would like us to bring to your lessons?
No. No. My lessons will have sources. Okay? But I'm not going to be teaching you everything in the book. I'm teaching only certain topics. And life is more interesting than lessons. Things come up, so it's a good way to be able to look up and figure out what you should do. Okay, so in the middle, Shiraj HaVakil Chata. Sometimes there's a darker blue one, there's a lighter blue one, there's a 3-volume. Sometimes there's 4 volumes. Sometimes there's a separate volume of an index, a really great index, a special index for Kalamoi laws, Yantif laws. Okay. On the bottom is a imposing 4-volume set, because each volume is huge. I venture to say it's like this. People often refer to it as the Great Bible. It's a 4-volume set written by an author, Rabbi Riviet. He may still be alive, I believe. If not, it was very recent, but I think he may still be alive. And he wrote a book called the Lamentet Melachot Shel Shabbat, which has a lot or most or all of Hilchot Shabbat. And it's different than Shiraj HaVakil Chata in that not everything follows Rosh Hashanah and Orbach, but also everything is in the order of the Malachos, meaning all of Hilchot Bishul are under Hilchot Bishul, and all of, rather than organized, like Shiraj HaVakil Chata has like a chapter on games. And different issues come up in games. Borer and writing. And so he'll have the writing issues in writing. And he'll have the Borer issues in Borer. So he also has an index in back. I find it much more complicated to use, but a lot of people really love this sefer. And in the front, he has the halacha. And there are a lot of footnotes. And the footnotes all point to the Hebrew section in the back. So though the book is in English, the notes are in Hebrew in the back of the book. That may be a downside for some of you. Okay, that's two. Number three, over here, there's a book called Halachas of Shabbos by Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Eider is a big Talmud Chacham who wrote a lot of easy-to-understand English Svarim. He learned in YU secretly and then moved to Lakewood. And is a very, well, he died awesome. In the 2000s. Why secretly? Because it's not good for your street cred in Lakewood. If you went to YU, I think. I don't know. I googled his name to find out where he was from. And it took me more than one click to find out that he had gone to YU. And all of them mentioned him living in Lakewood. So that's why I said not. I don't know. I don't know if it's really a secret. Okay, it's less prevalent in advertising. Okay? And he has very clear, not just on Shabbos, he has volumes on the 3 weeks, and on Kashrus, and on Nida, etc. Erevin. Okay, we're moving up. Rav Mordechai Willett, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva University, in the last 5 years, put out this beautiful volume on the laws of cooking on Shabbos, meaning heating up food on Shabbos. Patas, blechs, urns, crockpots, etc. Very, very handy book. And over here is Rav Bodner. He quotes extensively from Rav Feinstein and Rav Orbach. Extensively. Basically, every source says, you know, Mishnah Berurah, I heard from Rav Feinstein this, and Rav Shlomo Zalman that. Every source. And this is on Halachas of Muksa. He has a few others. Halachas of Refuah, taking medicine on Shabbos, etc. So those are some books I wanted to make sure you were aware of. Some Svarim. Be aware of, so you can keep up with Shabbos. And as the last source that we saw said, if we only kept Shabbos twice, the Gula would come, and we all be Zocha. I'm really looking forward to this year. Start next week with the laws of Kavod and Oneg Shabbos, or the introduction to Kavod and Oneg Shabbos. And any questions? No? Shkar.